This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 33125.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe, Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? It's Dan Day. And on the way, we got the Joe Rose Show talking all things football with Kyle Krabs. Greeny touching base with Jim Boeheim, whose son is balling at the NCAA tournament. In fact, Syracuse also balling at the NCAA tournament. Can't wait to watch that tonight. LSU, come on. Then Hawk and Crowder, it's spring break. Right now, it's headlines. The Heat dropped 2 to the Pacers over the weekend. First on Friday, 137-110. Then yesterday, 109-106 in overtime. Miami plays tomorrow against Phoenix at 8. The Panthers went 1-1 over the weekend, defeating the Predators Friday 2-1, then falling 5-3 to the Lightning yesterday. Florida is back in action against Chicago tomorrow at 8. After trading for him just 3 days ago with the Texans, the Dolphins have cut Isaiah Wilson. Wilson reports are the offensive tackle was cut for disciplinary reasons. Round 2 of the NCAA men's basketball tournament continues today. The games are currently going on, and they feature teams like Gonzaga, Michigan, LSU, go LSU, and Kansas. The Canes baseball team were outscored 34-2 by Florida State as the Seminoles swept the Canes in a 3-game over the weekend series. Inter Miami's game against Miami FC Saturday was canceled due to COVID concerns. Their next scrimmage is scheduled for Saturday against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Adrian Brody will play Pat Riley in HBO's Showtime Lakers. The series will spotlight the LA Lakers in the 80s. Both Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams have pulled out of the Miami Open. The tournament begins today, and now it's Monday, so you know we got to do it. Let's take a step into the day spa. A seventh grader in Ohio has broken the record by making 52 free throws in a minute. Yeah, but can he make them in crunch time? A 17-year-old in Montana has just earned her doctorate in business administration. Got to love virtual classes. A woman is claiming that her grandmother is bullying her because she's unhappy with her unborn baby's name. The name? Booger Boy. Nah, it's really Atlas Sage. Almost as bad. A San Antonio area wax museum has removed a Donald Trump figure due to people continually punching it in the face. Makes you wonder where people would punch you if you were a wax figure. If you're up in the mornings, you got to be listening to Joe Rose weekdays from 6 to 10. He packs it in, especially packs a pretty hard NFL punch. Earlier today, Joe Rose talking with Kyle Krabs about the Will Fuller effect. Also, the Dolphins possibly trading down in the upcoming draft. And is Gregory Russo staying put right here in Miami?
Director of Scouting for the Draft Network, lead editor of the Dolphins Wire, host on the Locked On Fids podcast. Also follow him on Twitter at Grinding the Tape.
Kyle, let's jump right into it. Will Fuller, I like the signing. Does this change how you feel about the priority list for a wide receiver in this draft by getting Will Fuller or not?
I don't know if it necessarily does for me, but I think what ultimately will be the tell is how the Dolphins philosophically want to run their offense, and retaining their co-offensive coordinators from last year is any indication. You know, this might be a team that, you know, does kind of look to run more two tight end personnel stuff as compared to trying to space the field with a bunch of 11 and 10 personnel like the Buffalo Bills did last year as an example. So maybe it takes a little bit of the heat off for the Dolphins, but I think with Will Fuller being on a one-year $10 million deal with $3 million in incentives and his durability issues, I still think receiver is, I would peg, as the top need on the team still, just because I think you need more there, and I think you need more reassurances. And there's no greater example of that than, you know, the Dolphins making this low-risk move for Isaiah Wilson that promptly went up in smoke in 3 days' time. So it's a good example of banking on one guy's risky business in the NFL.
Kyle, you do part of this, what I'm going to ask you next, you do for a living. If you have the wide receiver class ranked ahead of the pass-rushing class, knowing how important it is, the Dolphins just absolutely have to find a pass rusher in this draft. I don't care what size. They got to find a guy that, when you rush four, can get there on the edge. How do you treat that? It just seems like a lot of these pass rushers they have in the middle part of the first round. Do you jump up if you like somebody? How do you treat that if you're Chris Greer and Brian Flores?
Yeah, it's pretty unenviable of a position, because you look at how they handled free agency for the majority of their tenure aside of signing Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's all been young guys, right? So all the top free agent names available that are still pass rushers are either Jadeveon Clowney, who they were interested in 2 years ago, and Clowney turned his nose up to the Dolphins, and he's had durability issues, and then you also have a bunch of guys who are over the age of 30, so you don't feel like they're really going to sign somebody in free agency. And then you look at the draft, and Joe, I think you're absolutely right. It's their primary need defensively right now is a guy who can win off the edge in one-on-ones, and whether it's Quiddy Pay from Michigan or Jalen Phillips from Miami, those are the two guys that really jump out to me as they'd be stylistic fits for what Miami's going to do. You can make a case for Georgia's Azeez Ojulari, who's also a first-round guy and probably the hottest name of the group, but he's probably a little bit more the rush linebacker hybrid type and not the Emmanuel Agba, Shaq Lawson, hand in the dirt kind of player. But you're kind of in this dead zone, and if you pass on him at 18, you're probably not going to touch one of them. So then you kind of get into day two guys, and I don't know if any of those players are going to be better than anything than what you had last year outside of Emmanuel Agba. So you're talking, if you bring in Carlos Basham Jr. from Wake Forest, who's a day two pass rusher, he's 280 pounds. Is he going to be better than what Shaq Lawson was last year? I don't think so. He's a power rusher. Shaq Lawson was a perfectly fine power rusher, but it doesn't bring you the dynamic that you need off the edge. And Miami has a really narrow window of opportunity to thread the needle and be able to get the fit. But there's only a handful of guys at the top of the draft that I think qualify.
Well, Kyle, if the draft kind of sheet for the Dolphins changes a little bit, and maybe wide receiver is not the number one priority for them going in, and pass rusher moves up the chart a little bit, what do you do at three? There's not a guy to take there at three. There's no Chase Young in this draft, even at the top. At that point, do you kind of have to trade down a little bit so you make sure you get, you know, value at that 8 pick, 10 pick, 12 pick, 6 pick, whatever it is? Do you have to move down if that's the way you want to go?
For as much as I like a lot of the prospects in this year's edge class, I don't think I'd take any in the top 10, to be honest with you. So you're almost better off trying to maximize the value of the 3 pick, and I would advocate trading down anyway because I think there's a lot of really good offensive weapons that you could target. And then if you feel like you want to press the issue with a pass rusher, you kind of read the room a little bit, knowing you have 18. And if you have to move up a little bit from 18, I know that kind of flows against the tendencies of the Chris Greer, Brian Flores-led Dolphins in that, you know, we saw them stand firm on all of their picks last year when they had a couple of opportunities to jump up and go potentially go get guys that were getting close to them in the draft order. They coveted their picks. They wanted those top picks by volume. So it would be a little bit of a tendency breaker for them to go up and attack to go get a pass rusher if they felt they weren't going to get to him at 18. But I don't think you could justify any of these guys in the top 10. You know, I'd have a real hard time saying you got good value using your first pick in the top 10 on any of the pass rushers this year.
Kyle, I noticed you didn't say Russo at all. I was just Greg Russo. I know you've looked at his tapes and stuff. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What is it you don't like about him?
I like Greg. I think Greg has the potential to be a really, really disruptive defensive lineman. The questions with Greg are obviously we did not see him in 2020. He played in 2019 as a redshirt freshman at 260 pounds. And I look at Greg's style of play, and I look at his frame and his build. And I think the most exciting projection that I could come up with for Greg Russo is to get him to play closer to 275 or 280 and have him be somebody who can move around your defensive line, not dissimilar to how the Houston Texans used to use Jadeveon Clowney, where they put him down in the B gap and let him play the run. Because I think if you're just going to draft Greg and ask him to win off the outside, he's nowhere near developed enough as a pass rusher yet to be able to do that. I don't think that's necessarily where his strengths really lied as a player. So I think about Miami, and they need an impact player who can come in and be a force, claim pass rush wins consistently off the edge early on in their career because the Dolphins are entering into a competitive window. And I think Gregory Rousseau is probably a little bit more of a year three projection type as compared to a year one projection. Now, that doesn't mean if the Dolphins drafted him, I'd be really excited for what they could turn him into. I just don't think you're going to see that player in 2021.
We just, our front office has got to figure out how to draft a pass rusher on the outside. That's been, I know we used to talk about guards and how they couldn't draft their own guard and they had to constantly go out and get free agents. Well, now they're in that boat. Like, we got to find a guy that can line up outside. The last two guys, I know you've talked about it before, Charles Harris, and just didn't work out. And I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know why it's so hard. There's a shortage of them because we saw a bunch of them just get paid. But it has been a really difficult position for this team. Are they that hard to find?
I don't know if they're necessarily that hard to find. I do think it is interesting that, you know, the last couple of times Miami has swung on them, they haven't really been ideal situations. You look at the entirety of the 2013 draft when they traded up to 3 for Deion Jordan, and the top 10 had like one good player in it.
Right. One offensive lineman, I know. It's crazy.
And then you look at the 2017 draft, and for all the talent that that year had, of course, it was the year that the Dolphins had previously gone 10-6. And we're picking at 22 as compared to being in a position to draft a little earlier and reaching for a need in Charles Harris. And that's the lesson, and that's the risk, is when they drafted Charles Harris, it was, okay, we're coming off a 10-6 season. What do we need? Well, we need a pass rusher, so we have to draft one here. And they end up misevaluating Charles Harris versus T.J. Watt was on the board, and that's always going to be a red mark. So I guess for Miami specifically, they've had the luxury of having Cam Wake for the better part of a decade up until the start of this new regime, and it kind of took the heat off of identifying, okay, we got to go out and draft pass rushers early, and they've had some good ones here. Olivier Vernon was a nice mid-round hit for them, so I guess the transition away from him has made that a challenge.
You know, it's so funny, Olivier Vernon, they didn't even know how good the guy was. They went out and got Deion, and Olivier goes, no, it's too late. I'm not signing here, man. No long term. I'm hitting that open market as soon as I can. And he ended up being the best pass rusher we've drafted here in a long, long time, minus, you know, Cam, of course, coming in from Canada, and Jason Taylor going way back now. He's even starting to become an old guy here, so we can't even talk about him. Let me ask you about that running back situation. I don't think we take a running back in the first round. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I do think it's pretty telling the way they handle free agency, and that they managed to get Malcolm Brown on a really team-friendly deal. And obviously we didn't see Aaron Jones hit the market, but it seems as though, and I believe I saw Adam Beasley, the Herald had a report that, you know, they weren't looking to spend a whole lot in free agency on a running back. They had kind of a price limit that they were interested in, and it was fairly economic. So if that's the case, then I wouldn't be surprised if they do choose to play it like they did last year, in which we like our options, we're going to let the board fall to us, and we'll see who's on the board at 36, which is that early second-round pick. And I do think they have a realistic chance of one of those top three backs being there, whether it's Travis Etienne Najee Harris or Javonte Williams from North Carolina. So it's kind of a dangerous game, and if you end up coming up shorthanded, then I'm sure they will not hear the end of it, but they don't care about the noise from the outside.
Nope.
For how they choose to draft a running back, it's going to be a risky proposition if that's how they choose to do it, because that's how they chose to do it last year, and they get to 56, and the top five backs are all off the board.
Hey, Kyle, I noticed here real quickly, I noticed you've been talking about some other wide receivers that you like in a real deep wide receiver draft. If they don't take one of those top three guys that we have just beaten up, from one from LSU and two from Alabama, is that next tier close to those top three in talent potentially as an NFL wide receiver?
I think there's a handful that are.
Okay.
I like Rashad Bateman from Minnesota quite a bit. I think he'd be stylistically a good fit for Miami too, as far as Minnesota ran a ton of RPOs. They ran a ton of in-breaking routes in the intermediate areas of the field. That was an area where Tua Tagovailoa really struggled with accuracy. Bateman kind of plays with a quote-unquote my ball mentality, goes up and attacks the ball, and he's a little bit better athlete than he gets tested or gets credit for too. So I really like Rashad Bateman. If you're going to look to wide receiver maybe at 18, if you do choose to go a different direction, whether that's Penei Sewell or you trade back and draft a pass rusher with your first pick, and I think Rashad Bateman from Minnesota can be a really, really, really good pro, and there's a lot of good day two options as well.
No tackles, bro. No tackles, man. No tackles, please. No more. No more. We got enough guys. Let them grow, man. Let what we have grow. Let them grow up real quickly. Hey, Kyle, thank you so much, man, for being with us. We just
need a
little fix, man. Thank you so much.
It's always good talking with you guys. I hope you guys enjoy your week.
That's how Joe Rose, Zach Krantz, and Hollywood do it in the morning. Get up early. Get your sports on with them. Then stick around after them, because at 10 o'clock, Greeny takes over. And next, Greeny's going to be driving this bad boy with the coach of the Syracuse Orange, Jim Boeheim. Oh, yeah. March Madness is here, and you're going to hear all about it on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hope your Monday is going swimmingly. Monday fun day. At least we have basketball. Maybe we've got basketball going on all day. Makes your Monday a little more bearable. And hopefully spending time with me has made it a little more bearable. No, it has made it more bearable for me just hanging out with you. Put your pants back on. Nah, I'm kidding. It's all good. Hit me up on social media at Dan Day Radio. And, of course, always remember, you can download the podcast for this show or any of the shows by going to our website, 560thejoewqam.com. Oh, yeah. March Madness is in full effect and always seems like Syracuse is in the middle of it all. So earlier today, Greeny caught up with the man that make the orange run. We're talking about Jim Boeheim. First, he's talking about his son who is balling at the NCAA men's basketball tournament and how he keeps the Q's going.
Syracuse knocking off San Diego State, the sixth seed, the other night, then knocking off West Virginia yesterday to advance to the Sweet 16, where they will play Houston on Saturday night. And their legendary coach, the Hall of Famer Jim Boeheim, is back with me here on ESPN Radio. Congratulations, Coach.
It's great to be talking to you on this Monday. If I wasn't, we wouldn't be playing.
That's right. And you know, over the years, you know, Jim, I've probably talked to you on the air over 20 years 100 times. And what I've always found is that I'm always more interested in talking to you about things other than basketball and other than your legendary press and your legendary zone and everything else. And so here's what I want to ask you today. In all honesty, like as a father myself, I cannot imagine what it must be like to be coaching your son. For those who know his story, this is a guy who wasn't really recruited to go anywhere. He started out as a walk-on. He has now scored 55 points in two NCAA tournament games to lead your team to the Sweet 16. Jim, how do you put into words what that feels like as his dad?
Well, when you bring it up and make me think about it, I'm stunned and almost unable to move forward. During the game, I just pretend he's a player. I try to pretend he's my two guard, and let's see what we can do. We obviously get him more shots now because he's making more. You know, this year he started out shooting 25% from the three the first 15 games, and a lot of people didn't like him in the lineup, especially in Syracuse. But you know, he stuck with it. I mean, he's the hardest worker I've ever been around, and I've had some really hard workers. And, you know, I'm just proud that he made himself into that. Not that he's necessarily a great player, which I think he's becoming, but I'm just so proud that he's made himself into this because he just wanted it. I mean, I never told him to go to the gym. If anything, his mother's probably the only one that's told him to go to the gym. But usually she tells him to come out of the gym because he's there Saturday night after an afternoon game shooting the ball on a machine, a gun machine, which you get a shot every 8 seconds, for an hour and a half. I mean, it's his arm gets sore, literally. He has to rest his arm this year, which I've never heard from a basketball player. And I've been around some guys like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry who shoot hundreds and hundreds of shots every day. But I just am proud that he's made himself into this. And that's what I take out of it as a father.
And, you know, how do you try, or not even try, because you obviously succeed. How do you treat him like just a player when he's a game? I have obviously practically no comparable experience, but I did coach my son when he was playing in third grade, and I couldn't do it. After one season, I had to stop because I couldn't. I couldn't separate myself from being the father of one of the players on this little eight-year-old team. I couldn't do it even then. How do you do it?
Well, I haven't told anybody this, so it's kind of a national first. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done, but it's the hardest thing because you can't think about, he's my son. You have to think about, he's my two guard. What do we do with him? Is he got to come out of the game because he misses four or five straight shots? Fortunately for him, when I've had shooters, it doesn't matter if they miss shots. They stay in. Because shooters are going to make shots if they get enough of them. The only problem is if the coach doesn't get them enough shots. And if I don't get them enough shots, I can't go home at night. So, you know, the door's locked. And, you know, if it's really bad, the door's locks. They may have been changed by the time I get home. So as we all report to someone, even head coaches and radio guys, we report to the boss at home.
Why, and who in this case is not just your wife, but is his mom. And that's another complicated part of this. Like, I'm trying to put myself into this situation because the human interest side of it is so fascinating to me. And all of those dynamics, when he's struggling and he's not making shots and you take him out of the game. And now, you know, his mother is watching the game and she is both the coach's wife and the two guards' mother. I mean, it's fast. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good that he's always played well. I hate to think what would have happened if I'd had to send him down or something. I don't think it would have worked. I talked to a coach once who yelled at his son during the game, and when he got home, his wife was fully sweatshirt, hat, everything, in bed with a partition up in the middle. Don't come over here.
So we all understand how it's going. Anyway, it is a beautiful story. I mean, genuinely, just as someone who has known you as long as I have, it's a joy to watch. Let's move from that. Again, Jim Boeheim with me at Syracuse, and let's talk about your team and in its totality. Here you are. It's another year where your team comes in as this low seed or high seed, however we factor these things in, 11 seed, and you're off to the Sweet 16. How do you keep doing that?
Well, you know, we've been fortunate. Our defense is a little different for people. That helps us a little bit, not as much as people think. But teams don't see zones anymore. It used to be you played against zones quite a bit. Now we're like the dinosaur. There's not many teams that play zones. So that helps us a little bit. But we're a good offensive team, which it took us a while to develop into. That's what really helps us. We're shooting 50% from the three and the two, or in the NCAA tournament against two of the better defensive teams. So I think that's one thing. The second thing, it's amazing what a year it's been. I mean, I'm so grateful for our players and for the NCAA staff, Danny Gavitt. To get this tournament up and running it's an amazing thing, an amazing job. So we're really grateful for that. But when you look at the tournament and you see 15 seeds winning, 12 seeds winning, Oregon State 3 weeks ago couldn't beat the next door neighbor, and now they're beating everybody that they play. And it's obvious the Pac-12 is doing well in the tournament. Just to win the Pac-12 tournament was unbelievable. And now they're beating, you know, I mean, really, really good teams. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State's really, really good. And you look at Oral Roberts, they got two of the best players in the tournament. And that's college basketball. There's just good players all over the place. And it's fun for our game to see that. You still have Baylor and Gonzaga, who clearly are the two best teams. But there's a lot of other teams. Loyola of Chicago, as impressive as Baylor and Gonzaga is, Loyola of Chicago is the most impressive team. They're not a Cinderella. They're a really good team. They beat one of the three best teams in the country yesterday by 10 points or more.
Yes.
I mean, amazing tournament, amazing. We're playing it, and it's just great that we've been able to get through this year. For the most part, everybody's healthy, which is number one. And number two, we got an awful lot of the games played, and we're going to have one of the best tournaments we've ever had. I said this last week going in. This is just going to be a great tournament because you have so many great coaches and so many great teams. You've got coaches coaching here that nobody even knows about who are really, really good coaches.
It's been nuts so far. It's been fun, and it is great to see. It's great to see it back. Just after having, it was the first event that we lost last year, and so just to have it back, I agree with you. Just as a fan, as a spectator, is a delight, and it's great to see you winning again, Coach. The best of the family. Thank you. Congratulations. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll talk next week when you're on your way to the Final Four.
I hope so. Thanks, Wayne.
Take care.
Much love and respect to Jim Boeheim and Greeny right there. It's going to be fun to see how all the games play out. I know I'm going home to watch that LSU game tonight. Yeah, Tigers. Proud alumnus right here. See if they can make a little run, beat the Michigan Wolverines. Number one seeds aren't what they used to be. They're not your mom and dad's number one seed. So let's go, Tigers. And next, we're going to Let's Go Spring Break with Hawk and Crowder here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. That's how it starts. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hola, I'm Dan Day. Listen to some LCD sound system. I always got to get some LCD sound system in my life. Love those guys. James Murphy and the whole crew. Seen them live before. They broke up for a while. They're now back together. They do their music here and there. Makes me smile. Makes me feel good. And hopefully you're always feeling good with the Hawk and Crowder Show, weekdays from 2 to 6, right here on 560 The Joe. No one has more fun than them. Solana interjects, they bag on him. It's good stuff. Hawk and Crowder right now talking about spring break! Also, Solana's got that heat jinx and Spo's TOs.
Yeah! Feels good! Back. Back. Like I never left.
You did leave for a week, but yeah.
Left for a week. I had to party a little bit on South Beach. I had to get it out of my system.
You started one of those fights. I knew it. I knew I saw you.
I think I'm the reason Isaiah Wilson's gone. I'm going to be honest here. I was having too much fun.
I was running with Hawk, man. I couldn't handle it.
I know y'all said to be careful of South Beach, but you ain't never done it with Hawk.
Come on, Hawk. He would have been the guard we needed.
I would like to point out the Miami Heat have not won a single game since Solana purchased one of the trophy gold jerseys.
Bad luck, guys.
Related? I don't know.
Put him in the bathroom.
Put him in the bathroom. You're the mush, Solana. You had to crow all over social media that you bought one of the jerseys. They haven't won a game since.
I think that's totally erroneous. Absolutely erroneous.
Maybe it's erroneous? They've won a game since you bought it?
No, I mean, maybe they could just hit a damn three in overtime. How about just hit it 1-3 in overtime?
How about call a timeout and draw up a play like they had done just a few moments earlier, right? Where yes. After a yes. Timeout, like Spo draws up good plays. And can we do something for timeouts for Spo? He's not heard. There's something going on. You know, there was always the kid in class that you could tell was raising his hand or wanted to ask a question, but the teacher could never tell. We all saw Spo was trying to call a timeout, but the teacher didn't notice. And it's like, at what, like, he's got to do something. What could he do? Laser pointer? Red laser pointer.
I like that one. Hit the
Super
ref right
soaker,
in the eye.
Something, anything. Like,
you know what? I was going to go with a water bottle, squirt the ref, but super soaker sounds right. A little better. Yeah.
Super soaker. I mean, there's no mistaking that he wants a timeout. I spent last week on spring break in Vero Beach. How are things going on South Beach? Did I miss anything?
They're not going well, man. It's some crap going on.
There's a lot of shenanigans going on South Beach. We were going to have Will Manso on today to talk about the Miami Heat. He doesn't have any power at his house. He doesn't want to waste his cell phone on us because maybe there will be a Heat story at some point. I totally understand. There's people listening right now that A, work on South Beach, live on South Beach, are visiting, want to go to South Beach. Like there's definitely some issues because, I mean, even people that live on South Beach are getting caught on the causeways trying to get over, and it's all shut down. So, yeah. I don't know. Glad it's not my problem to solve. That's all I can say.
I don't know. I just don't know. Thousands of people come down to party, and then you close everything. I don't know if that was the greatest plan ever. I think somebody smart needs to figure this out.
Like, what about the planning? We had to have known that the rest of the country, other than Texas, really, the rest of the country is locked down, and Florida's been shouting, "We're open! We just had a Super Bowl! 30,000 people were there! Anyone see this? We're open!" And the airlines, they're not getting any customers. So they're like, "Oh, you want to fly somewhere? $4. Sure. Oh, you want to go somewhere? $11. And so everyone piled into an airplane, flew down here. Hotels were dying to prepared for something that seemed very obvious, that this was going to be spring break central. Oh, and by the way, we have the greatest weather on the planet. So, it's not like Montana. Yeah, it's not like Montana's open. Hey, we're Montana. We're open. You know, awesome blossoms, half price. Like, it's South Beach, and we're open, yeah. And the weather.
I never looked at my buddies and said, "Hey, bro, spring break in 3 weeks. Let's go to South Dakota."
Never.
It doesn't work that way.
So, anyway, we'll talk with Calvin Hughes about that. We have a lot of stuff to get to because I wasn't here last week. I want to get Crowder's take on a lot of the Dolphins' moves. We're going to talk with Clay Ferrero from Local 10 about the Heat, their three-game losing streak, and if Kyle Lowry might be in the offing. So, lots to get to.
To be fair, Crowder, you did say, "Well, spring break, let's go to Minnesota." So, not far off.
Actually, it was ski
great
week.
Point.
It
great
was
point.
Ski week.
Even worse, spring break, you went skiing in Minnesota. Even worse.
Oh, no. When you go to the private schools, there's ski week, and then there's spring break. You see, this is a different world. This is a world we don't live in, Solana. This is a special world.
And you're not allowed. I'm not going to give you a pass.
I'm very aware.
Take a T.O., baby! Basketball all night long. I am going home to crack open some Busch beer, sit around, and enjoy my life. LSU playing tonight. Let's pull the Tigers through. Go Tigers! And then, of course, come on back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We'll do it again. I'm Dan Day. Thanks for listening. This is 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle-free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.